Red on Red.
This week in the podcast, we're joined by Hope is Noise frontman Dan Breen and horse vocalist Ian O'Callaghan ahead of the band's big gig at the Kino on Friday night. Hope Is Noise with Born Again Friend, taken from their 2017 Demons album, and Horse with Drone, taken from their split 12-inch with Bisect. Both records available now on their band's respective band camps. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast, dropping every Wednesday evening via Cork's Red FM and redextra.ie. We're also available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen. I'm Mike McGrath-Bryan, and this week we're joined in studio by Hope Is Noise frontman, guitarist, and general catalyst for change, Daniel Breen.
How you doing, Mike?
Good to see you, boss.
You too.
And horse vocalist, general man about town, the darling of Cork Twitter, Ian O'Callaghan.
How's things, Mike?
Grand, now thanks. You're busy enough now, coming up to Friday at the Kino. Hope Is Noise, God Alone, and Horse. A bit of a triple bill of hometown heft, with the ping pong DJs also in full effect thereafter until close. Doors are at 8:30, I believe.
8:30, yeah. It may be 9.
Oh.
I found out
today. Come at 8:30 and yeah, wait outside.
Tickets, yeah. €15 available on the door or from uticket.ie. And lads, you know, it's the end of the year for the pair of yous. It's all like Christmas gigs in Cork are always fun, especially where heavier bands are concerned. Kind of, what are your thoughts heading into it?
Well, Dan's been keeping a family of robins in his hair for the last few weeks. He's going to release them on stage on Friday. Is that right, Dan?
That'll be the plan. Barney, Jessica, and the twins will be let loose into Cork and hopefully bring a bit of Christmas spirit to the shoppers on Patrick Street on Saturday. But in all seriousness, Minnie, the gig is we're really looking forward to it. You know, I suppose back in the day, we used to always have kind of good Christmas gig either on, you know, just before Christmas or New Year's Eve in the quad in the old days and stuff. And there used to always be something to look forward to around Christmas. So I think this was our attempt to try and do something similar this year in a brand new venue. None of us have played here before.
Have you not played the Kino before?
No.
In all of its incarnations?
Never.
Jesus.
And to be fair as well, Pat is getting much older. We probably don't have that many Christmases left. So, kind of, yeah. Make hay while the sun shines.
yeah, Pat's
55?
Coming up,
but
yeah.
He's in terrible health.
Yeah.
We actually have an obituary on standby over at Red FM for him, specifically at the news desk.
Yeah, really?
I have to update it.
You got a rate to roll.
Yeah, you have to add it on every year. Every year he makes it. Yeah,
no, I wouldn't be too clever about that now if I were you either, Dan Breen.
No, in fairness, technically I'm younger. Not much, but technically.
Technically, the best kind of correct.
Well, that was the other kind of idea behind the gig, was that, you know, you'd have the young band coming up in the scene that have been kind of, you know, doing their shit for the last kind of, you know, couple of years. God Alone, you know, most of them look, they're just out of school, really, you know.
They're physically out of school.
And Horse in the middle, and Hope Is Noise 20 years that way, you know. So it's kind of like a generational gig, if you want to look at it kind of that way. And it kind of shows how, you know, how the scene has evolved, I think, since we first started. And I think people would come there and, you know, whoever's playing, you'll see Cork coming out of it big time. You know, there's an essence.
There are nice kind of 10-year gaps kind of among like the different kind of age groups or demos of the bands on it as well. So it really is a nice kind of, not a handing on of the baton, because that implies people are finished, but like it is a really nice kind of coming together of sonic weirdos in the city. So yeah, that is class. Dan, Hope Is Noise have had a 2019. Last time I was talking to you on the podcast was last year, and there was talk of an album in March 2019 that for various different reasons hasn't manifested itself yet. Mm. But you have been doing a bit of gigging around the place. Were you in Limerick again this year?
We played Dolan's earlier this year. I think late summer, early autumn in August. And that was great. Yeah, the main stage. Thanks to John and all the lads in Dolan's for setting that up. And we've done a few gigs recently with our friends Tane.
Yep.
From London.
And Matthew Sutton and the lads.
Yeah. And that was great. We played Cork and we played Galway. First time we played in the warehouse just outside Galway. It was great. No, it was brilliant laugh. You know, it's kind of a want of a better word, a kind of a jamming room that they turn into a venue, kind of, you know, every once in a while, and yeah. It was great to play there. But other than that, it's been a very quiet year. The chief reason that the album hasn't come anywhere is that we're not 100% happy with it, so
yeah.
We'll either go back to it or we'll just start from scratch again. We haven't decided that. And I suppose the other major thing is that our jamming room for the last 7 or 8 years is gone. So we're...
another victim of the property gold rush?
I believe it's been bought to put apartments on it. So, so that's... But for us, the sad thing was it was the last kind of physical connection with Lawrence, who we used to share the space with. He died, you know, this year, I think it's 3 years now. Other than that, it's been a fairly quiet year. We've just been old men, kind of, you know. It takes us a while to get things going. And so that's why we really want to do something good at the end of this year to kind of mark it, finalise the year, and maybe just kind of go out in a bang, for want of a better way. So it's nothing better than to do that with our good friends in Horse and God Alone.
Old buddies and old pals. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about the album, because, you know, there's no use in going ahead with something that, you know, that you're not necessarily 100% happy with. But what was the process like this time around for putting this set of songs together, and kind of at what point was the realization there that this wasn't going to be 100% what you wanted to do?
I think we wanted to do it as quickly and as kind of, I suppose, cheaply as possible, you know, in a sense that we didn't want to be spending months recording it, and we recorded it pretty much in, you know, 4.5 days, mixed it a couple of times, and I suppose our previous albums had the whoever was involved produced it or helped us get it recorded. This time was very much alone. I think it was more a learning process. I think if we do it again, we're much more aware now of what we shouldn't and should do.
Yeah.
I think we were too dependent on, you know, other people to help us record our previous albums. And I think that's probably something we should think about again, you know, bring someone on board to help us kind of put it together from the start and things like that, you know.
Who would you bring in then in that respect? That people that you've worked with before, like Noel Lynch, are still kind of in the picture?
I don't know. You know, that's a conversation for 2020, but I'd imagine... someone who knows us, I think that's us, and someone we're comfortable with, you know. Even though we've been playing a long time, we're kind of creatures of habit, and there's certain things we do and we like to do, and, you know, certain things make us comfortable, and, you know, things like that. So that's the main thing. Other than that, we may have to, you know, just give up. And
well, I doubt that's happening now, in fairness. Going back to playing in Limerick, it's no great secret that DIY music in Limerick is on fire at the moment. You've done the Siege of Limerick, I believe, as well as one or two kind of
separate, was our first time, yeah,
headline shows there as well. Just, I went there this summer for Fail in the Grena, and I'm generally kind of kept appraised of everything online that's happening there regarding the lads from Cassavetes and the DIY LK crew, Post Punk Podge, Naive Ted and the Unseen Music crew, and it's just such a different vibe there at the minute. They really have kind of happened across, not a golden age, because that's always what journalists fucking love to say about when things are going well, but, you know, there seems to be a very different vibe there right now in terms of all things DIY. Kind of, what was the vibe there for yourselves when you kind of went down? Because, you know, I don't think I've seen you playing Limerick in quite some time.
Oh, it's been a long time. Like, funny, you were mentioning earlier about the 10-year kind of gaps between scenes, but I remember, you know, in the early 2000s, Limerick had a great scene going. You know, you had the High Stool Bar and places like that. And then all of a sudden, all their Baker's Place, all these places, and then they just closed and they were gone. And we didn't play Limerick for a long time because we didn't think there was anything kind of there. But it's only the last few years it's really, it's come around again. And I think there's, you know, a lot more. See, for a music scene to work, you don't just need bands. You need kind of promoters, and you need, you know, people working in a wide range, people who own venues willing to put on these gigs and stuff. And I think Limerick have that good combination of that now. I think Cork is in the process of, I think, getting it back than it was, you know, let's say 10 years ago. But definitely in the metal scene in Cork, I don't think it's ever been, you know, healthier in terms of the amount of different venues and different kind of events and, you know, festivals and weekenders and all that kind of stuff happening.
Weekenders in particular.
Yeah, you know.
That's got to be really big in the last like 2 years, hasn't it?
Yeah. And that, again, that part of Cork thing was dead for a few years, but it comes back. And I think if you stick with it, these things roll around because you get people interested, and that's what you need. You need very interested people like yourself to push the music, In our day, it was a guy called Leo O'Sullivan who used to put on all the gigs and used to have every band from around the world staying in his house, feeding them, and then getting local bands to support those bands. And Fred, you know, someone like that, you know.
Torching Baroness and Fred's, when you think about that now, that's so fucking insane.
So bizarre, yeah.
Baroness and Fred's.
Baroness and Torch, the same night in Fred's, with Revolution of the Sun, wasn't it?
With Revolution of the Sun, yeah. And that was all Leo, you know. And the one thing I have noticed, though, and hopefully it'll change, is there's a lot of, like, I've seen a lot of good gigs in Ireland over the last couple of years. Shellac, Hot Snakes recently. They don't come to Cork. They'll go to Galway, they'll go to Dublin, they'll go to Belfast. But I think 10, 15 years, they would have come to Cork. And I think, hopefully that'll change, that'll roll around. And
they're going to Limerick now, actually.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Bad Rep have been there for 10 years and they know that they can summon up a crowd on the best of occasions. Whereas I think Cork, after the dark kind of post-recession days for metal, you know, the likes of Paranoid Beast, etc., are kind of proving that they are reliable commodity that can go out and promote a show and fill a house. Bellwitch did really, really well. Monolith did really, really well. Rotten Christ. I think it's just a matter of time and building those relationships up. But as mentioned as well, you went on tour with Matt Sutton and the lads in Tain. And, you know, I only heard their stuff there maybe last year or so when they got in touch, etc. And it was just a bit short notice for me to cover it in The Echo, more so than anything else. And it's a huge kind of departure from maybe what they had been doing prior. Because I remember him in, was it Violence Is Not the Answer, or it was all a bit black and white?
It was all of the black and white with him. And he was in Shit, remember them?
Oh, yeah.
With his brother and a few other lads.
No, they're like a very, you know, compared to what we play and they play, it's chalk and cheese. But they're also very unbelievably pro. The gear they have, the setup, they're like, they just roll in and they're a machine. Smoke machines going off. Like every time
strobes,
lots of strobes. And, you know, it's a performance and a show, you know. Every time we played with them in Fred's, I think this is our third time playing with Fred's, they've set off the smoke alarm, you know. And pretty much every venue we've played, they've set off the smoke alarm. And, you know, it's this ritual, pre-gig ritual, where we all have to kind of open windows and kind of get the smoke alarm down. But in terms of, you know, you would say we're very different bands, but leaving music aside, we just got on like a house on fire. It was great, you know. It's just sometimes when you get to this age, you like to, if you're going to be touring and playing gigs, leaving home, family, etc. You want to hang out with people you like hanging out with, you know, and they're people we like hanging out with.
There are things kind of turning up for them as well. I mean, they recently signed on with Strange Brew Records out of Galway, who are really kind of doing the business at the moment for Junior Brother. And prior to that, have been putting on gigs in Galway for years and years and years. So it's nice to see that there's the benefit of a bit of that label's momentum affecting them particularly, and especially where they're positioned in London to go do these kind of off-the-cuff spot shows, etc., where they can...
But they work very hard, you know, they're constantly on the road, they're constantly playing gigs in London. There's, you know, this is their third or fourth time in Ireland, I would say, in the last year and a half or so, you know, or 2 years, you know, they're constantly touring and on the road.
They're up to a three-piece now as well, they're a full live band now. They used to have a drum machine before, didn't they? So it's a full band now.
But the drummer's leaving in February.
All right, never mind.
So they're looking for another drummer, you know.
Good to burn it.
Yeah, but they are a different animal with a live drummer. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good, really good.
Find Tain Band on Twitter to audition for percussion for Tain. As mentioned, last but not least, we were talking a little bit about Wood Street Practice Space. You know, naturally a very personal process for you, clearing out the gear, clearing out, you know, accrued memories really over the course of a number of years there. Where next for you in terms of like setting up a
We're not sure. Room? It's still in the pipe work.
Up to Richie's gaff now.
See, we're in Blackpool for a long time. We actually worked it out in our 23 years of playing together. We've been in 10 jamming rooms.
Jesus.
Including also my bedroom, years. Starting in my bedroom for about a year and a half.
I remember the documentary.
Yeah, and my
available now on YouTube.
My mom naively offered, "Well, sure, you can come back and jam if you want in my house." And I said, "Yeah, the amps, sir. We had 10 watt amps then. They're a bit bigger now." So, you know, I politely declined the offer. I'm not sure. Look, the funny thing is, there are a lot of bands looking for spaces. So hopefully, we can kind of come together with a couple of bands we know and find a space. And the reality is now, you know, nobody can take a whole room to themselves. We were very lucky where we were. We were the only people in the space on Wood Street.
And it was three rooms, really, wasn't it?
It was three rooms there, yeah.
It's a quiet part of town, too. You used to walk past the Internet Cafe there sometimes.
I'm saying that, though, you know, you can always judge. You know, the car park that was outside it, you could always judge the activity outside our jamming room because it was gated. But, you know, so it would go from cans to empty bottles of wine.
Yeah.
But over the last definitely 6 months, needles were turning up a lot more. So it's strange, but our jamming room is a good place to actually tell
how the city is doing.
And you know, right, what's happening in the city and stuff. Because when we'd come in the morning or come in the evening to jam, you know, very often, and very often we'd come out of the jamming space or we'd hear rustling at the door and we'd come out and there'd be three or four homeless guys just sitting down listening to us jam, you know. And we'd often say, are we too loud? It's, no, this is great, you know, we get to listen to some music. But
a degree of levity in that whole situation is
it makes you, you know, like Lawrence, I remember when he had his studios there, he had his bike robbed out of there and stuff, you know. So it had its moments, but it was our space, and you know, it was something that but it was also a space that a lot of other people used to escape the city from. So you'd have students drinking, you know, before they go to the clubs. You'd have the homeless, you'd have drug users, you know. So it was one of those type of spaces.
I drank hands under myself, actually. There you go.
Yeah. Hope is noise fitted right in, you know. We like our spaces small, cramped, and kind of noisy.
Dirty.
Yeah. We're a pretty old school band.
Speaking of dirty boys, when we come back, we'll be talking with Minnie about Horse and...
Oh, you had a shower tonight?
I didn't.
Oh, didn't? Oh, God, Minnie.
Hardworking man like himself comes straight into the studio. When we come back, we'll talk with Minnie from Horse about that band's 2019, plus their thoughts heading into the gig at the Kino on Friday. But first, we're going to go to some more tunes. This being the last episode of the year for 2019, we're going to play a couple of favourites of ours from the Cork scene in 2019. We got a real couple of them here. First off is Elaine Malone with My Baby's Dead. Lads, have you had a chance to kind of check this one out in particular?
Yeah, I love this one.
I haven't heard it. Sorry.
Elaine's kind of singer-songwriter.
I'll tell you what. Last time, I'm going to interrupt you, sorry, Mike. Right. Last time I was here, you told me not to curse. I was like, can I curse? And you said, I don't know, but just don't bother. And I didn't. And I said, like, just a bunch of words instead of curses. That made me sound really fucking lame. And then Elaine Malone was in here the following week cursing like a fucking docker. And the whole time I was listening to the podcast, I was going, fucking Mike making me sound like an asshole.
I do like doing that to people, in fairness. But, yeah, again, we're a podcast. We're not subject to any particular watershed as well.
Yeah, and
you listen to us at your own risk.
Sorry.
From Elaine Malone, we got My Baby's Dead, her kind of big single this year, kind of following up the folkier nature of her EP Land with something a bit more in the kind of psychedelic rock direction, no doubt helped by her collaborations with Cathal McGowan of the Altered Hours on the production. We also have Keelan Sherlock with Don't Let Me Forget About You.
Who?
Yeah, I know, right?
I know, I love Keelan. Yeah. Great band, great lads, lovely music.
You can be guaranteed lovely music on this programme. Elaine Malone with My Baby's Dead here on Red on Red.
Stay out of the lake, 'cause you know. to ask. I'm on the trail of denial. It's such a tedious task. Had a dream about the voodoo. Maybe I was just bored with myself. Moved along to saving children. Got a picture I can put on the shelf. Stars above, is that a signal in the sky? I'm on the trail of denial, one that's passing me by. Put my head under water and I wash up on the shore. There's only one thing that I wish for. Don't let me forget about it.
Keelan Sherlock with Don't Let Me Forget About Her, available now at keelansherlock.bandcamp.com and across all of your streaming services. This is Red on Red, and before the jump, we were talking with Dan from Hope Is Noise ahead of their gig at the Kino on Friday night. Doors at 8:30, tickets €15, available on the door or at uticket.ie. They're joined on stage by Death Punk four-piece Horse, and joining us in studio now is the charismatic vocal flair of the entire operation, that is Ian, open commas, mini, close commas, O'Callaghan. What's the crack? It's been a busy one for Horse. You've been recording your debut album with Paddy and Cahill of the Altered Hours. But kind of before we get into all the nerdery of working with the Altered Hours and recording, you know, you've put together a couple of splits now. Your first EP came out before you joined the band. So it's all kind of just the combination of different experiences within Horse in the current lineup. Kind of talk to us a little bit about the process of putting together these tunes and kind of any underlying concepts that come together.
Yeah, I suppose we started writing it right after we finished a split with Bisect. We started writing then, so by the time that split came out, like 6 months later or whatever, we probably had a good few songs written by then. So I don't know how many years ago that was, but some of these we've been sitting on for, yeah, like 3 years, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
And the last few just kind of came together recently. Yeah, I, you can hear the difference even in the newer ones compared to the ones we wrote a few years ago. It seems to be kind of going a certain way.
Kind of noisy, more post-punk stuff, if Reject the Arches is anything to go by. That's Surface Life.
Yeah. Yeah, so I suppose the songs we wrote just before that are like a little bit more on the kind of punky kind of hardcore side, and then the newer stuff we've written since Reject the Art is kind of more down that road.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of, yeah, a few different sounds on the album.
And is that the kind of the influence of Decky Sinnott being involved, given his kind of background with noise and the like?
Yeah, and Wayne as well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Myself and Kieran are probably more on the hardcore side of things, or at least we were, for, you know, most of our gigging lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're kind of right in the middle now of what all of us listen to and what all of us like. It just took us a few years to get there, I suppose.
I suppose it always does when you hear about it from artists kind of reaching a kind of a sweet spot between everyone else's influences and their own concepts and yeah. such. Talk to us then about working with Paddy and Cathal, because, you know, we're familiar with their production work on a load of different psychedelic records, shoegaze records, more experimental stuff. And Paddy's into the old heavy stuff himself now, but he seldom had a chance to kind of flex in that regard up until very recently. When he had your songs kind of put together and taken to them, kind of what was the process of working with them on the finished product, the production and post-production?
They're impossible. Very, very difficult lads work with. No, it was great.
Paddy especially.
It was great, yeah. And as I was saying, like the way we're going with kind of newer songs, they're a bit more experimental, and even two or three of them we've been playing live, and we kind of hadn't even settled on an ending, just kind of feel it in the moment and see where it goes. And yeah, I think we ended up kind of getting some weird sounds and trying some new things, and yeah, they were very open to that, just us, you know, going for it. And I don't know, I've definitely worked with other people before where that would really piss them off, the fact that we hadn't written the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, or we hadn't finished a song and we were just, coming in and trying it in a recording space. But yeah, the lads were really up for it and wanted to see what would happen and where it would go and what we could get.
Has your vocal effects table kind of expanded now?
It hasn't, no, because I barely know what I'm doing with it. Like, it's just to kind of cover up the fact that I can't really sing.
Well, like, since when was that kind of a huge priority, like sonorousness and all of this, heading into something as quick and dirty as Horse was when you came into it?
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't really use them at the start. But as things get a bit more melodic and a bit more quiet, and even kind of some spoken bits, it definitely benefits more from having the odd bit of delay or looping or whatever going on, you know, a bit of reverb, whatever.
And would they have brought anything to the table then in that respect to themselves in terms of gear?
Yeah, they did. I don't know what half that shit was. But everything sounded great, and they got some fucking really cool mics, and they had some cool ideas with like mic setups and room mics and kind of getting like a nice like natural kind of reverb in the room. Yeah, it was cool. I'm really looking forward to hearing it.
All of that can really make a difference to how one perceives a band, because I know with the split you did with Bisect, the one thing that kind of got me was just how ridiculously heavy the drum sound was in particular. Like, you could hear both the fact that it was mic'd up so close and there was such kind of reverb around it that you could literally hear you could feel the drum kit being destroyed, really.
Yeah, he plays pretty hard as well, you know. I don't think I've ever played with a drummer that plays that hard. Even in the room with him when you're jamming, you have to crank up so much just to be heard above him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Of course, you've been gigging a fair amount as well this year. I mean, only recently there you were sharing a stage with 10 Past 7 and Olivia Fury, of all things, and that's been kind of the icing on a relatively busy gigging cake for a Horse.
I think we've only played like 4 gigs this year. They've just all been kind of like good ones, you know?
Yeah.
Well, besides Friday now, like.
Terrible altogether.
I'm only messing. Yeah, we played with, yeah, 10 Past 7 in Spalpeen Fawnock and Olivia Fury.
Which is pretty intense. So out there, like, as in, like, it's...
Man, that was intense.
It was intense because, like, there is a performance artist that does what all performance artists really should be doing by their work, which is making you uncomfortable and making you confront something within yourself.
Oh, like, yeah, I enjoyed it in hindsight, but being there and having it happen, I was like, oh, I just want to die. And she zoned in on poor, what's his name?
Cormac,
yeah. I actually went over and I gave him a hug afterwards, because she even told him, like, that she was going to go for it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a behind the scenes that I shouldn't put out there, but she said to him, like, that, to Cormac, that she was going to have a go at him and start blaming everything on the sound man. But even though he knew it, like, I could just see him withering on the spot.
I loved that set because she make you confront your own anxieties about performing or doing anything kind of creative. Because yeah. There's a load of that involved. and to be kind of fronted with the with the honesty and the realities of laying yourself on the line there. That was my takeaway from the whole thing. It's like, this is class. I'm terrified.
Yeah, and I definitely had a moment where I was like, am I anything like that? I can't be. No, am I?
Or maybe. Are you?
Am I? Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. So I guess like making you question it. I just I knew that I must have lost like a liter of sweat. I'd say. Just fucking stressing out.
Is that
watching the... it? I went to the back in the end. I couldn't fucking deal with it.
Is that the internal voice of the artist?
I don't know. It's just really fucking awkward. The internal voice of her artist. I don't know.
What does your internal artist say?
I like sausages and Beamish.
Speaking of going deep, we're gonna go straight into some more tunes. Speaking of 7:10, we have Comedy Night, taken from their Shut Up Your Face album from God. Nearly a century ago now at this stage.
Yeah. I remember when I saw, you know, when I first saw 7:10, you know the way, like, other musicians, how they might see the likes of God Alone as a young fella, or see, like, us back then, see 7:10, you're like, that's incredible, like, and then that would inspire you to start playing music, you know? I go the fucking other way, I see that, and I'm like, fuck that, I'm never going to catch up with that. You know what I mean?
And they were saying the same about Mick Flannery.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Then on the other hand, you see, like, Hope Is Noise, and you're like, oh, I could give that
anyone
a go.
Anyone can do it.
I could give that a go.
Anyone can do that. That's just
what that's a genuine thing, though. I'd see the likes of like Jezzery and 7:10, and I'd be like, I can't do that. Fuck that. I guess I'm not going to play music. And then I saw Yee, and I was like, oh, this is more along. I could maybe give this thing a go, you know?
If four Egypts can put something together. Yeah.
That there's less of an insult in there than I meant.
We'd have the same member seeing Rest for the first time, you know, and just going, well.
You were talking about how you were terrified watching Rest up in France.
Well, believe it or not, they, as I said before, they supported us as Wretch.
Yeah.
And I think their bass player couldn't make it. Their original bass player couldn't make it. So Steve played bass, and they carried on, the Grahams, Johnny and Steve. And we were three piece as well. I think we were still the Terranauts at the time, I think. It's a three piece. I remember the three of us going, I don't think we'll be keeping this band going, lads, you know.
And here
we
are.
Yeah, what's the point? And
14 years later.
Yeah. But it goes to show, I think, like, you'll always get that type of mix of bands. You'll get the real technical powerhouses, and then you just get messer slackers like us.
I saw a video of them from way back in the day playing, and I guess they like weren't 100% sure of where the changes were. So Steve would slowly lift up his right leg. And that would be, that means they're changing at the end of that bar. So we started doing that with Terriers when we were writing songs. We didn't know where to change, me or Seb would like lift a leg up to change it to the next
bit. I was wondering what that was about. I thought that was him just doing his joke dance.
Oh, he might just be releasing an old gasser as well. Some difficult wind.
Speaking of difficult wind, we're going to go straight to some more tunes. 7:10 with Comedy Night, taken from that album that we started talking about there about 20 minutes ago. We also have Elaine Howley with Song for Mary Black, taken from the Whacker That album. A recommendation of Declan Sinnott's.
Yeah, I love it too. I saw her, was it Supporting Fixity?
Supporting Fixity at the Jazz. The Jazz, yeah.
Man, and it's that one song, like, did you notice, like, people like started cheering when she was playing that, like it was a big hit or something?
Because it does kind of have that feel to it where it, like, as I was saying on the 909 podcast 2 weeks ago, available on 909.com, you know, there's that feel of both familiarity in the sample that she chooses and the experimentation of, like, live semi-improvised stuff that's going into it as well. So I think it kind of scratches both itches in terms of that respect.
I loved it anyway. Well, I loved her whole set that night, but that one song in particular is just, I don't know, you can kind of get lost in it. It's lovely, you know.
You can, and like, it's been one that I've been going back to over the course of the year. We'll hear from Elaine Howley momentarily, but first, this is 7:10 with Comedy Night here on Red On Red. Thank you.
Elaine Howley with Song for Mary Black, taken from Touch Sensitive Records, Whacker That compilation, released earlier this year on cassette, pink t-shirt and digital on touchsensitiverecords.bandcamp.com or Google Touch Sensitive Records. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast, and we're joined in studio by Dan from Hope is Noise and Minnie from Horse ahead of their big gig happening on Friday at the Kino. Doors 9 o'clock, tickets €15, joined on stage by God Alone and joined afterwards to close out proceedings by the ping pong DJs, including one Albert Toomey. And, you know, it's a, as we were talking about earlier on in the podcast, it's a fairly hefty deal, both in terms of the development of weird, hefty music in Cork, but also just in terms of, like, you know, a nice Christmas party for civilized human beings coming out of work, etc. I suppose just talk to us about your feelings about this gig as kind of just a year-end wrap-up for what you've been at, respectively.
Oh, yeah, look, as I said before, it's always good to round out a year and kind of have a party. It's finishing up day for a lot of people, you know. It's the coming up to Christmas, the new venue, which is always exciting to play in, and look, I don't think you leaving us aside, but I don't think you'll get two better bands to play with, you know, Horse and God Alone. And the DJs, look, I think if people are just going to come down and have an old school kind of just party on, you know, literally.
It's a late
drink.
Bar too, I think.
It's a late bar.
Until two, so, you know.
Dangerous.
Like,
sorry.
Careful now.
it just similar to what we would have done back in the quad days, and, you know, have a load of bands on and then you have a DJ afterwards and everyone stumbles out the door at 2 o'clock. Into a taxi or into the fountain, whatever way, whatever feels more appealing at the time. But it'd be, that's what we're going for. And
fountain's a bit of a walk from the Kino now.
Yeah. Straight line though. That's not.
You get the bus. That's where you get the bus now from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you can take the bus outside.
Out the Ballysea line.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be our last, obviously it's our last show of the year, but it'll be our last show for quite a while as well, because we played like a few now in recent months. And I guess the album is coming out next year, so we'll probably take a good long break until that comes out. I can't imagine we'll play anything, at least locally, until that comes out, maybe the second half of the year.
So kind of keeping the powder dry in advance of the new album?
I suppose, yeah, just take a bit of a break, because I suppose we're going to be pushing that some bit when it comes out, you know? So just take a bit of a break until then. I mean, you never know. If something good pops up, we'll probably play it, but I can't imagine we'll be putting anything together ourselves or anything like that.
I'm fairly sure regular listeners of the podcast are sick of hearing me hype up God Alone already, so why don't you do it for a change?
Yeah, they're just incredible. They make me want to like quit playing music. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think I'd have another kind of 10 past 7 rest moment in my 40s. I've had them the two or three times I've seen God Alone play, and, you know, and what catches me is people respond to it, they react to it, you know.
And it's just that thing as well. It's not like there's plenty of like amazing technical bands in Ireland popping up every now and then, and you look at it and you're like, yeah that's amazing, fair play to them, you know, that must take an ages to learn. But it's the passion they have for it as well, and the passion on stage, and yeah, that's what I like the most in a band, to be honest. And they have
the Cork humour as well, though. They have
plenty of it.
Yeah,
they have.
You know, and I think, you know, the closest, like, Galway bands are similar. They kind of have a similar kind of fun. And I think Limerick bands as well. I think that side of the country, we have this certain humour.
It's not taking yourself too seriously,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And great bunch of lads.
Yeah, and we're, look, they're just very enthusiastic. You know, anytime you get onto them about gear or would they play it, it's like hearts and emojis and, you know, love and tenderness, and you're just going, Jesus, lads, that, like, they're just positive and it's and energetic.
I know Louis from Hope is Noise is very excited. He always, whenever he sees them playing, he like walks around to the side to see what the drummer is fucking doing with his foot. He's obsessed with that drummer's right foot.
The drummer came up one night to Pat, just as we're, I think we played with them in Limerick, and I think he said something like, I think he may have played with my dad's band or something like that. that hit home, but it hit home in terms of like for a long time, you know, a few years ago, I suppose in like 2010 to 2014 or something, you'd be worried about the Cork scene. There wasn't a lot of, you know, stuff really, apart from the odd band, and there wasn't a lot of attention being paid to it. But it's great to have a band like God Alone and Horse kind of bringing attention to the scene again. You know, with the Horse's album coming out next year and God Alone's coming out this year, you know, I think the Cork scene is set for a couple of years, and which is good to see.
Something else will probably come up as well in a few years that blows everyone else out of the fucking water.
And then you have all the other genres that, you know, we don't have any fucking clue about, you know, from rap to dance to electronic. You know, I don't, you know, but from reading what you do and what you put out and all your podcasts, that's fairly healthy and thriving as well, you know, in compared to what it was, you know, 5 to 10 years ago.
Well, I think the same logic kind of applies, where people just get so into what they're doing, etc., that kind of passion and that kind of DIY ethic, because everybody's DIY now by necessity, that all has to get picked up on, and there's a lot of stories there in the interim that if you can find the right platform to tell them, you know, why not tell them? Yeah. You know, but speaking
but
of platforms,
but that's why, you know, this gig in the Kino is kind of a departure in one way for us, because someone like we haven't really worked with someone like Joe Kelly before, you know, for all the good work he does in St. Luke's and
you know, at St. Luke's before with Talos.
We got that through a different. That was through. That was an Apple party.
Yeah, corporate gig.
Yeah, it was a corporate gig. You know,
Available for corporate gigs
for 2021.
The
mastering of an album that we're not releasing. But so doing it with Joe and all his staff and his partners, it's been a new experience. But it's sort of, even though it's a kind of a different level, it sort of reminded me a bit of what when we used to do with Leo. You know, he'd organise everything, he'd get it set up, he'd tell you what this and that, and you know, look, it's new. It's new for the Kino, and I think it's new for Joe in terms of putting on an entire rock, heavier gig that he's not used to doing. It's something he can't do, and he was quite keen that he wanted to do it in the Kino, that the Kino wouldn't just be a. Because you can't do us, you can't do what we do in St. Luke's, really, without echoing everywhere, so...
I paid good money for it, though, in fairness.
It's a great venue, St. Luke's. It's the lighting and the sound is great, but it's just not meant for heavy drums. Wayne would take the roof off.
You know? The sound in the Kino actually is amazing since it's reopened.
Mm. And brand new system being put in and the lads looking after things.
But they're bringing what they do in St. Luke's to a smaller scale in the Kino, and I think it'll be great.
They're really well organised, actually. They looked after us so well down in It Takes a Village.
Yeah.
That was them, right?
Yeah, that was them. There was, I believe you were the soundtrack to the Arm Wrestling Championship of Ireland.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where the prize was a year's worth of nachos.
Well, that's what we said. I don't know. Well, there was obviously no clear winner because everyone was so fucking drunk. I know I beat
I fancy my chances for next year anyway.
Yeah, well, I doubt we'll be invited back. We had a great time though. It's a great spot.
But you know, now, like, there's a little bit of an ongoing tradition, maybe kind of indirect, among heavier bands in Cork, of putting together some degree of mad Christmas gig. You know, God Alone have been doing it for the last couple of years. Terriers did it over at the Triskel. There's been Christmas gigs going back years and years and years, where some degree of nonsense goes down, some interference from a man in a red suit kind of happens. What, if anything, can we expect from this as a Christmas party?
Do you have a red suit?
We're in Red FM, buddy. Of course we have.
Well, Hope is Noise, we're just looking to get through the set in one piece.
Yeah.
Because we're playing a lot of old stuff.
I'm playing an old one, which
you are. He's coming on board, you know.
Yep.
I think we
God Alone have some festive plans.
I think they're
going
to be
they're going all out.
But again, I think that's the youthful enthusiasm, you know.
Yeah.
I think we're from Hope is Noise perspective, we're just hoping that I don't break 7 strings and, you know, fall off the stage or something, you know. So
you're dispensing sage wisdom is what you're doing.
All I'm doing is I let the night, tell us where we're going. If the crowd are up for it and there's lots of drunk people, then we'll be drunk too.
Class. We'll talk a little bit more about the immediate future for Hope is Noise and Horse when we come back. But first, we're going to go back to some more tunes. We got a double dose of tunes released recently via Sunshine Cult Recordings, a new-ish label set up in Cork in the last 18 months, 2 years, kind of operating as a tape label and a digital outlet via Bandcamp as well, having begun releasing things for the Sunshine Factory. So yeah, that does kind of mark them as 2-3 years. They've recently put out a pair of savage releases, which we'll hear from momentarily. The first is Mantua, the improv drone project featuring Elaine Malone, her second appearance on this week's podcast, with their self-titled release, from which we take Something's Happened Up at the Old Mill in its 7-minute entirety. And, you know, for those that have seen Mantua in person, it's a very different thing. And in particular, this session that this album was taken from, where she worked with members of Traw, Fadine, with violins and all of that. And
it's so Minnie, different from her solo stuff as well. Yeah, I saw her once live. It was great. Weird, really, really weird. Mm. I liked it though.
That's what you want. Speaking of really weird, we also have Traw Fadine with an excerpt from their single track 50-minute debut album, Set Ahain. And, you know, there's the vague threads of psychedelia kind of going through all of our song choices for the show tonight. And this is not really an exception, but kind of a real fusion of the kind of the folk revival that's been happening in recent times with the kind of dreamy, psychedelic improv stuff that Cork has been known for in recent years as well. So we'll have a quick maybe 3 to 5 minute excerpt from the whole 50-minute album that's currently under release from Sunshine Cult Records. But first, this is Mantua with Something's Happened Up at the Old Mill here on Red on Red. Thank you. Trafodine with an excerpt from Set a Hayne, available now from sunshinerecords.bandcamp.com. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast. And before we finish up for the episode, Minnie from Horse, Dan from Hope is Noise. Of course, those two bands playing at the Kino on Friday night. Doors 9 o'clock, tickets €15, available on the door and from uticket.ie. God Alone also supporting, with the ping pong DJs bringing the home until 2 a.m. with all manner of nasty, low down filthy tunes. And lads, any kind of last things to say about the gig? Any last plugs, shout outs, curses, shopping list?
I'd say come down and have a good laugh. You won't regret it.
Minnie, will we regret it?
You might regret it, but you'll never know if you don't come.
This is absolutely true. You don't know if you don't go.
A wise man, Minnie.
Yeah.
A wise man.
Yep.
Any other wisdom to share with us? Where can we find Horse on the internet?
Twitter, Instagram, I had the Facebook going, but then I quit Facebook permanently, so we can't really do much on there anymore.
So you have no administrators?
No administrators on there, so we can't do a whole lot. Big up to Super Quinn Sausages and Coleman's Mustard.
Well, those are gone now, aren't they? Super Quinn is long gone. Or Super Value doing them?
I have 8 in my belly right now, baby.
8 of them?
Yeah.
God, I love sausages, but I wouldn't eat 8.
No, those 2 settings.
And that concludes this week's episode of Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast on Red. And that's all for this week's episode of Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast from Red FM and RedExtra.ie. Thank you very much to Minnie and Dan for joining us in studio this week.
Thanks, Mike.
And thank you very much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please take the time to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as other podcasting platforms. Every like, every share, every rate, every subscribe, every bit of word of mouth, every carrier pigeon helps us spread the word of DIY music in Cork City. Make sure to check out the artists featured online or at an upcoming gig, including this Friday at the Kino, 9 p.m, €15 in, Horse, Hope Is Noise, God Alone, and Ping Pong DJs. And if you'd like more Irish tunes, please be sure to listen into Green on Red on Sunday nights with Alan O'Donovan for the best of all that is Irish on Cork's Red FM, 104 to 106. And we're leaving it with your billmates for this Friday. This is Yes I from God Alone's self-titled new EP. And one thing I was trying to get to earlier before all of the banter kind of took over was, what were any of us doing at their age, much less appearing in Kerrang, which is kind of something that would have been a gift from the gods.
Yeah.
Had that ever happened to us? The lonely rural metaller pursuit of going down to the local shop and picking up the Kerrang that was behind the counter for you because you asked for it.
Yeah.
And to see how far that's kind of come along, and to see the lads being at the receiving end of that. Like, great. Just Cork metal, boy. Strength to strength.
And well deserved.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we'll leave it for this week. This has been Red on Red. Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you in 2020.
on Red.